Good morning, everybody. We're getting there. Well, today, as we know, is... Here we go. Today is Sunday. Yeah, somebody got that. Today is Sunday. We have reached our upper room for this month. So we're going to be, we do our communion services a little different. They are kind of family-oriented. I get picked to have the kids up on stage most of the time and have something fun for them. Well, this week we have nothing planned. No, I'm just kidding. We have a lot planned for the kids this morning. So without any further ado, why don't we... Oh, wait. Before I get into that, Sean mentioned the bonfire, and I do have pictures. Alex, put those up there. There we go. Yeah, and you can see Mark and Jake are standing next to it kind of for height purposes. Our goal was at least 8 or 10 foot. We approached it at certain times. The next picture shows then how far we were sitting away from the fire because of how hot it was. I think Mark actually made the estimate that it was actually warmer in the sun than it was in the shade in by the fire. So... we were cranking it pretty well. We'll see if that might be a danger for family camping with all the kids, but you never know. We might have some fun with that. So there was no fire jumping this one. Fire jumping might have led to lawsuits if we did anything with this. So yeah, great time out of family camping. I want to thank Sean for organizing it and getting us out. We have a beautiful spot. We have a beautiful spot there back in the woods, very primitive, and we just kind of ignore civilization back there. Christy asked, what did I do? And I said, I sat around a fire for 12 hours, and it was awesome. So it was a great time. So with that, kids, you want to come on up and hear what we have for us today. Wait, I saw a lot more kids. Did the kids disappear? There was a lot more kids running around. They all took off or something. Whoa. Literally taking off here. All right. Well, awesome. There is no microphone up here. Yeah, there was a bunch more kids. Where did everybody go? So here we are for the upper room service. And when you guys are wee little babies, what do you eat? Oh, so if you were at your house, your parents probably would have pulled out some jars such as, the other one's over here, jars such as these, right? So let me ask you a question. Are you guys still babies?
No.
No? You're really, how old are you? Sick, that's not really, really old, is it? Yeah. you're older than I am. So, here we have some baby. I want to know, anybody here want to try some of this baby food? No, he's walking off of stage.
Nope, I'm more eating my guts.
Eating guts? That's worse than baby food. All right. So here we have, look, this is fruit. We have apples, which is basically applesauce, and we have bananas. Anybody want to give either one a try?
Nope.
Yeah, there we go. All right, which one do you want to try, the apples or bananas? Apples. All right. Do you hear that? Popped for freshness. All right. Do you want me to feed you like a baby,
no,
or do you?
No.
All right, he's going to feed himself. Right here, turn, come on. Come on up front there. There you go. So it's like applesauce. So there you go. Try it. It's applesauce. Basically, that's all it is. See?
I never ate applesauce. Also, I'm a diabetic, so I can't eat.
we'll be. Disgusting, he still says. All right. Anybody want to try the bananas? I know somebody who would love to try this. Where'd he go? Where'd Alex go? Oh, he's hiding on purpose. See, every time at youth group, there's multiple Alexes. He's like, not this one.
Alex, come in.
So, we do this at youth group every year. Our first game of the year, we have the kids eat various baby foods, and it's always a very fun time. But okay, so no one wants to try bananas?
Nope.
Maybe we'll see in a little bit. But, all right, so as you grow up, you start. No, I always play the games. Oh, yeah, you would all just love to see me eat some fruit. That's what you want to see. But as you grow up, you start eating then what? Oh, yeah, now you're all, like, walking towards me. Uh-huh. Yeah. I see what's going on here. So you progress, right? So you go from baby food, and you move on
to
real cereal. So that's okay. You don't have to. You said you're a diabetic, so I'm nervous to give you anything on stage. There's a thing called lawsuits, and we just, between fire jumping and everything, we're not going there. So.
I like cereal, but I only like the very weird cereals.
The very weird cereals. There's Alex. Hey, Alex, want some baby food? Oh, come on. You're my saving one on here. All right. So. I don't have enough for everybody, but I do have some stuff. So if you see a cereal appear that you would like to take, go ahead and grab one. You don't feel like it?
Sticky stuff.
Is the one you like? Which one? Good, now you can munch all during. There is sticky stuff. So there is a natural progression. If I was still eating baby food, would you think there was something wrong with me? Yeah. Now, forget everything else about my life. But strictly speaking along the baby food, if I was still eating baby food, you would think something's wrong with me, that I hadn't grown in the way that I am supposed to grow. If an adult is still eating baby food, something hasn't progressed. Something hasn't moved forward in their life. We go from baby food to my next thing was going to be a piece of steak, but Outback wasn't open yet, so you know. Didn't want to get any steaks, so thank you guys. I have some more treats for you guys. Who want? Oh, see, we progressed, and this is going to be another point of us. You guys are really craving this candy, aren't you? All right.
Now what?
You're only a type 1 diabetic?
Yeah, but
what is going on up here? Can you have candy or not? Can you? You can? Do you know? Okay.
Only if my parents give it to me.
Okay. Well, I'm not a stranger. How many of you guys taking your hands are in here for a very long time? Oh my goodness. All right.
I'm taking two.
You go. Okay. All right. You already got some, Addy. You're good, Addy. There you go. There you go. Oh my goodness. Oh, now you're taking over my stage. All right, you got it. Good, now for all your friends that disappeared, you can eat candy in front of their faces. No more. All right, go ahead. Oh, you did a great job. Go back and share. All right, thank the kids for everybody, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Go ahead. Anybody want some Apple Jacks? Okay, Grace, be careful here. I'm going to come over this way. Here we go. You ready for this, Priscilla? Remember, the word of the day is lawsuits. So here we go. Yes! And remember, when I have candy and all the kids take it, I turn into Oprah. Ready? Everybody gets candy! Everybody gets something. Brandon wants some in the back. Oh, Chris, work on that for softball. Whoa! I don't think I got any that far. Oh, they went through the lights. Frank was nervous. Here he goes. Candy. 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 Alex, just kidding. All right. Oh. Don't you guys just love upper rooms? Well, how about this? One more thing to get out. Who wants the banana? Who wants the banana? Yeah. Now, if I see you eating it during the service, I might just lose something. There we go. All right. If this is sitting here a whole time, you guys are going to go put it down here. It's okay. You can admit you're hungry. You don't have to. He's offering to put it away. All right. Whew. After all that, how do we get back on track? All right. Well, we are looking for the past 2 weeks at the book of 1 Peter. Last week, we looked at this idea of holiness and what it means to pursue after a life patterned after Christ. We looked at the verse that its opening word says, as obedient children. And we thought about what it means to obey the commands that Christ has for us. It says that we don't conform. We talked about the molding that happens in our lives. And are we pursuing the life that Christ desires? Are we pursuing holiness? This week, we're going to look at the second phrase, as I said in our quiz. And how did everybody do on our quiz that we looked at? Everybody do pretty good? I forgot to print it off, so I don't have it in front of me. So you lucked out. It's on my phone, but it's all the way over there. I don't feel like getting it. If we have time at the end, we'll go over the quiz. But I hope that the purpose of it wasn't always to get all the right answers, but it was to challenge us in the sense of, okay, what do I know about Scripture? Am I able to answer questions when they arise? Do I know who said these things? Do I know where this book is? Do I know what the theme of this book is? Do I know what Peter is trying to teach us through his book of 1 Peter? And the challenge for us is to be in that knowing. You see, we'll only know and obey if we study, if we get into, if we look to his word. And that is what we looked at as we thought about this idea of the Christian life coming down to those two words that my professor said in college, obey and know, or know and obey. However you want to use those words, we want to know God's word, and we want to obey God's word. And you see, there as we go into this week, there is a growth process that happens. If we are in the same point we were spiritually when we first got saved, if we haven't progressed, then are we really growing in our faith? Paul lays out this question in this discussion in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, but you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. He offered them the baby food of the truth in Scripture. And he's writing to them and he's saying, look, I wanted to give you now the cereal, the steak, the meat of the Christian life. But he says, you know what? You're not ready. You're not in the Word. You're not listening and obeying and following his commands. It is to this idea that we will turn to the book of 1 Peter today. I invite you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading from verse 22. But before we do that, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here today, a place where we can have fun in your name, a place where we can worship in your name, and a place where we can turn to the truth of your Scripture, a truth that is unchanging, a truth that changes our lives, a truth that pushes us toward holiness. Lord, as we finish examining 1 Peter this week, help us to see what Peter is striving to teach to us, where he is challenging us in our spiritual walks. Lord, we thank you for your Son. May we remember him this day as we take our communion. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we turn now to 1 Peter, we're going to see the challenges that Peter lays out for us. And we're going to look at a rather larger section of Scripture today. but we're going to hit a few points that are for us to apply. I'm going to begin reading, as I said, in verse 22 of chapter 1, and I'm going to finish in verse 8 of chapter 2. Peter says this, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love for one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone that causes people to stumble, a rock that will make them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message which they were also destined for." Here we're going to pull out a couple of truths. The first one we see right away is one we saw last week, and it's the one of obey. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but he talks about, again, that you have obeyed the truth of Christ. He goes on and he's going to talk about this truth of Christ. He's going to describe the word of God. And he says here in verses 23 and 25 and patterns there, he says, it's the living word. It's a word that's not dead. It's a word that is active for us. He talks in those passages about the grass that will fade and the flowers that will fall. But he says it is the word of God that stands forever. See, everything in this world is going to fade away. And what remains is the word of God. These are not just empty words laid out on a page for us to read every so often on a Sunday morning, but these are the words of God laid out for us as he used these human authors to dictate his words to us. It says they are living words. It is an unchanging word. It is vital, ever present to our world. It meets our needs. It gives us a sense of direction. It gives us a sense of wholeness. He says the world around us may fail and break, but the word of God lives forever. I want to talk about now what happened when I pulled out that bag of candy. Yeah. Did anybody happen to mention the word I quickly said as they were chasing the candy? Were they craving that candy? I pulled out that candy and I thought I was going to get trampled. My life flashed before my eyes. I spent 12 hours in front of a bonfire, but the kids chasing candy is terrifying. I thought I was going to die. But you see here, he's talking, Peter is going to challenge us. He says, you know what, as you see kids craving and chasing after that candy, he says, we need to crave God's word. See, Paul, in the passage that we looked at in 1 Corinthians, talks about the spiritual milk and how we are to grow in our faith, to increase in our knowledge. And here, Peter is talking about the milk that we crave, the milk that we need. I can remember back when Ava and Kenzie were babies, and they would often cry. This is the part when they hate being in upper room services. And I had two choices. either find a bottle or find the Tylenol. Yes, some people are with me on that. All right, but no, it was always option number one. I knew what they were craving. I knew that they needed something. And anybody seen a baby's eyes when they get a glimpse of their bottle? Yeah. They're like, yes, I know what's about to come. I know I am about to be fed. I know that I am about to get what I need. And the picture here is exactly that for us in God's Word. Are we craving the Word of God? Is it something that we're running to early in the morning when we wake up? Is it something that we're running to throughout the day? We need to be in God's Word. The Word is what causes us to grow. The milk that babies take causes them to grow. We learn what God has for us. I know that life is busy. In my own family, we face many busy moments of being everywhere in our lives. But it is important to carve out some time for God's Word. I have kind of set a challenge for myself of waking up an hour earlier than I normally would. Doesn't always happen. Sometimes I know if I try it, I'm just going to be miserable. But I try, I set my alarm, and I want to get up that extra hour. And then I take that time and I get in God's Word. I spend time in prayer. I know that's where my day needs to begin. I know that's how it needs to start. I can actually remember meeting with Shane, and Shane challenged me. He said, you know what, you just have to do it. Just get up and just do it. And I was like, fine. So ever since we had that meeting, I have been setting my alarm to get up early and be in God's Word. You see, we have many resources here that allow us to grow. Yes, it is important to be there on your own and in your own homes, reading and studying God's Word. But are you involved in a small group? Are you involved in a place where we gather around God's Word? Are you involved in a 9 a.m. class? A 9 a.m. class where we dive into various books of the Bible, where again we watch a video and then we gather around a table and discuss various things that are happening in this section that we're studying. What about worship? Do you come here with the idea that, yes, this is where I come to grow? Or do you come here saying, I look forward to a great time of fellowship? And fellowship is great, but if that's all it is, then you're missing this. You're missing the time of worship that when we stare at the screens and give Alex awkward eye contact, as he wants us to be singing along with him and leading us into the presence of God. And as we hear God's Word preached, whether it's myself, Jim, Ron, or whoever's on the stage sharing what God has placed on our hearts, all these are options for us to grow in our faith. And there's something that I've been working on for a while and talking about with the teaching team, and it's kind of this idea of increasing some more options for discipleship. And one thing that we're kind of beginning to introduce slowly is these classes that come from Emmaus, and it's called the Emmaus Road, and it's classes designed to take us on a journey. They're classes that you can take at your own pace. The chapters are about 3 or 4 pages long. There is a quiz at the end to make sure you're just following along with it, but it's placing building blocks of faith in your life. And if you want to hear, we'll certainly talk more about this in the weeks and months to come, but there's, I guess, opportunities for us to get in God's Word. Randy has been the, I don't know if you want to call it the test bunny or whatever you want to call it, the guinea pig. See, I'm not in the scientific world. The guinea pig for these classes, and Shane has also taken some of the classes as well. And Randy, if you talk to him about these classes, he'll tell you just how much he has learned in those. I don't want to give him time because he'll talk forever. No, just kidding. But he will. He'll share about the things he's learning in these books, the themes that he's seeing in Scripture. and the presentation of it. And if you want to talk more about that, like I said, we'll talk more about those in the weeks and months to come. But he's laying this out. And Peter says, crave the word. Here at Faith Fellowship, I hope that you're not saying, you know, I'm just not growing. Because if you're not growing, then you aren't taking advantages of the opportunities that are here for you. The opportunities are here. Step out and join in some of these areas. But as we think about craving this word, he moves on. And he says, look, as we crave this word, there is a foundation for our lives. He says, there is a cornerstone in which all of our faith is built upon. He says, this living word, this word we crave, is built on Jesus Christ. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is important for us to understand that this cornerstone, and what it's talking about here is it's like a building. Now, as you know, I am not construction-minded. So bear with me as I describe these things. The cornerstone is the foundational stone. As they would build a house, usually the walls would come together, and they would lay upon one cornerstone, which would support the walls. See, the thing that supports us in our life, the area where our life is built upon, is the cornerstone of Christ. So as we go through this section, we see that we obey. We are craving this living word. This living word that is built upon the foundation of Christ. And the question always becomes, why? Why is this so important for us? Why do we need to know God's word? Why do we need to obey God's word? Well, Peter gives us two scenarios here. And the first one that he's going to talk about in this why comes out of 1 Peter 5, chapter 8. And he says this. He says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. So here we have this why. This idea of, why do I need to know God's word? Why do I need to obey God's word? And the answer is because we have an enemy. An enemy who is lurking like the nature channels when you see the lion about to pounce on its prey. The devil wants us to fail. He wants us to slip. And he says, look, we resist that when we know God's word. When we understand the living word that is built upon Jesus Christ, then we can resist. We can resist the temptations that cause us to live the holy life that we are called to live. The ones that want us, pull us away from Christ. Our call is to be holy. When we know and obey, we pursue Christ. One final reason that Peter talks about here comes out of chapter 3, and he says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you this reason for your hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. He says, look, it's not just for this defense against the enemy. He says, look, you are to be my witnesses. When somebody asks you about your faith, I want you to stand firm. Remember, as we looked last week, we are talking about a people who are facing persecution. People might be asking them, is this really what you believe? Do you stand on this? And Peter's saying, when they ask you, you stand firm. You give the reason for the hope that you have. This is why it's important to know and obey, so that we can resist the schemes of the devil, and so that we can proclaim the truths of the gospel. if we don't know, we can't say anything. If I were to ask you right now to go and coach the Perry Hall basketball team, I'm going to be away for this next coming week. I need you to go and just lead them in practice. Would you know what to do? What if you spent the next week or two studying my game plans, studying the practice plans? Would you feel better comfortable to go out and lead that practice? The same thing for us as we go out into this world. God has laid out his plan, and he has given us the hope in Jesus Christ. And that's the hope that we have, the hope that we look at this table in front of us. I invite the ushers to come forward as we get ready to remember this hope. Peter says it's the hope that we give an answer for, the hope in Jesus Christ. The hope that says, you know what, we are sinners. We can do nothing within ourselves to reconcile us to God. And he says, there is a hope that came in Jesus Christ, a hope that shed his blood on that cross, a hope in which his body was broken for us. If you don't understand this hope, I pray that you would talk to somebody and understand the gospel. Understand all that God did in sending his son to us to die for our sins. As we begin to look towards communion, scriptures call us to examine ourselves. And at this time, I would ask that you would pray to yourself. Confess any sins that you have had over this week. Come clean before God. If you've never come clean before God, for the first time, confess your sins. Repent before this holy God. And know that he is calling out to you today.